We have been working our way through the book of Deuteronomy, and we've been spending together on our Sundays, diving in at various parts and looking at the story of God and this part of their history, Israel's history. And so we've been seeing what God was saying to Israel, what he was doing in Israel, and we know then that the generation that is grown up in the wilderness is poised to enter into the promised land, and God is saying to them, remember this and remember this and don't forget my law, and when you enter the land, make sure you be careful of this and this and this. And we've been talking about that over the weeks. You may recall on our first Sunday in this series at the very beginning of the year, we talked about how the book is structured much like an ancient treaty that existed in that time, in culture in that time. It was like a covenant or a treaty. And if you missed that message and are interested, feel free to find that on our website. The idea was that it resembled really, really closely a treaty that would often be created between two nations to govern their relationship. And it was usually a more powerful nation and a less powerful nation, and it was usually being thrust upon them, but God used this treaty. And why did I tell you that? I told you that rather than it simply being interesting, if that's interesting to you, but rather than just that, because what it tells us is that God is committed to speaking, and he's committed to speaking in a way that we understand. And so those treaties were understood. They were like a newspaper today. Like, we all understand what a newspaper is for. We don't look at it and think, I wonder if this is poetry. No, like, we understand what genre that is. We understand what a newspaper is. And so for them, like, they understood what that was, and God was speaking in a way that they understood. Because God doesn't want to be obscure. He doesn't want to confuse us. He wants to speak. It's the hallmark of relationship. Today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be wrapping up this series on Deuteronomy. Next week, we're going back into the New Testament in a different direction. And the theme this morning, as we read, is primarily about God speaking and the people hearing. And hearing God's voice can be a wonderful and life-changing thing, but it can also be tricky as well, can't it? Sometimes it can be hard and frustrating, maybe. It's something we all need to grow into as disciples of Jesus. And God speaks in different ways, and we hear in different ways. In a room this size with this many people, I'm sure there's a variety of ways in which God primarily speaks to each of us. And there'd be lots of similarities, but there would be differences too. For some of us, the only way God really speaks to us is through his word, and it's what we're reading, and it's like it pops off the page. Like, he speaks into our situation. For others of us, we hear God's word through dreams and visions. Some of us hear that way, others don't. Some of us tend to hear God's voice through circumstances or the voice of other people. Some may move in the gift of prophecy or words of knowledge, which are spiritual gifts talked about by the Apostle Paul. Many of us would sense the still small voice of the Spirit like a prompting. God speaks in many different ways. And depending on our wiring, our personality, or how God chooses to speak, we all hear differently, and sometimes differently at different times. But there's also an enemy who speaks. And the scripture says he masquerades as an angel of light, but he's there to sow discord and lies into your life. You may receive a dream or a vision, or someone may have a word for you, or whatever it is, and it actually isn't from God. And it's not to say that you're possessed or they were possessed. Influence, certainly. We're all influenced. We're all tempted and influenced all the time. So discernment is so important when it comes to hearing God's voice. Lord, is that you? For example, well, one of the great ways, of course, we discern is through Scripture. Somebody might say, you know what? I just really sensed that God was saying to me it was okay to have that affair. You know, I know it's not the best thing to go, best way to go about those kind of things, and I know it caused a little bit of pain, but you know what? Everybody's so much happier. And I felt like God was saying, you know what? It's okay. And God was, we're all happier, and God must have been in it. Well, I'm pretty sure that we could say to you, you know what? I'm pretty certain God didn't tell you to commit adultery, right? And that's a bit of an extreme example, but that is where we test words against Scripture. Did God really say that to you, or was that the voice of someone else? Or was that your own voice of your own desires speaking perhaps trying to justify your actions. So testing a word from God against Scripture is key. Other ways we do it is maybe taking it to somebody we trust and asking them to pray into it with us. Say, do you think this is a word from the Lord? Am I to trust this? What am I supposed to do with this? I, as all of you, am on a journey with hearing God's voice. Sometimes I feel like I'm growing and I hear God's voice more clearly. And other times I feel like I'm not and I've got a way to go. For me, God speaks most clearly, just the way I'm wired, most clearly when I actually disconnect from everything in my life and get away in silent retreat. That's the way God speaks to me, and I'm sure many of you as well. It's not true for everyone. Some people God speaks to in the hubbub of life, in the busyness of life, and that's fine. God sometimes speaks to me through dreams and visions, but very rarely, but on occasion he does. It tends to be through Scripture or through the still, small voice of his prompting. Occasionally, God will speak to me through the prophetic word of somebody else, and that's happened, and I keep them written down and so on. But again, not that often. It tends to be, as I said, when I withdraw and get away and listen to the voice of the Lord. When Renee and I were trying to discern a really important decision about her future, and about a career decision, we didn't do it between washing the dishes and making lunch the next day and running the kids to soccer practices and so on and responding to 15 emails. We didn't do it. No, we were up in Vernon at a retreat center listening quietly to the voice of the Lord, and that's how we discerned. That's the way I'm built, and that's what worked for us. When I was trying to discern whether to put my resume in to be the lead pastor in this church, again, I didn't do it in the busyness of life. It just doesn't work for me. I went away for 3 days and two nights with just my Bible and was on my knees for 3 days, asking the Lord to speak. It's just how I'm wired. And God spoke to me so profoundly during that time that I don't think that God wouldn't have spoken in my regular context to me. I just think I would have found it harder to listen. I'm not the kind of person who can do their homework in Starbucks. Like, some people can do that, and that's great, and that's how they're wired. I'm not like that. I need to be quiet in the office. We're all built differently. God speaks differently in different ways. I'd like to read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we're going to read from verse 15. And as I said, the theme is the voice of God. And just prior to this passage I'm about to read to you, God is teaching them. And one of the things God says is, when you get into the land, be aware of divination and soothsaying and sorcery. Be aware of people that cast spells and witchcraft, and so on. You might call those the practicing of the dark arts or whatever you want to call those. But they're primarily ways of trying to determine and discern the future. Later on in the Old Testament, the kings of God will go to their prophets and say, should we attack this nation? Is God going to give them into our hand? And the prophet would go to God and would pray and then come back and give the message to a king. Other nations would go to their sorcerers or their wise men or whatever. And through trying to discern the spirits or conjure up the spirits or connect to the spirits, they would answer. Because of a belief that the spirits or the gods or even dead kings somehow had some kind of power to influence the natural realm or had some kind of insight regarding the future. God says, have nothing to do with that. Instead, this is what he says. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people, and you shall heed or listen to such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, if I hear the voice of my Lord my God anymore, or ever see this great fire, I'm going to die. Then the Lord replied to me, they're right in what they have said. I'll raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people, and I'll put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the word of the prophet shall... The prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or presumes to speak in my name, a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, the prophet shall die. You may say to yourself, how can we recognize a word that the Lord has not spoken? If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, but the thing does not take place or prove true, it is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Do not be frightened by it. God's word to us this morning. If you know the book of Deuteronomy at all, you know your Old Testament at all, you know that Moses is going to die pretty soon. And in fact, I think I've said that at a previous week. At the end of the book, Moses dies. It is not Moses who leads the people across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. That's Joshua's job. So I think we could say a fair question on the minds of the people might be, well, how are we going to hear God's voice now? Like Joshua's going to be kind of the army guy who's going to take us in, but Moses has been leading us for 40-plus years. Once Moses is dead, how are we going to hear God's voice now? That's a fair question, isn't it? And as New Testament believers, we might say, well, why didn't they just listen? Why couldn't all of them have just listened to the voice of God, you know, when they have their quiet time or in their devotions? Why aren't they listening to God's voice? One of the things about the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s was that the Protestant comes from protest, protestation, protesting against what was happening in the church, saying, you know what? We don't need a priest to absolve us of our sins. We can go straight to Jesus, the great high priest, is one of the hallmarks of the Reformation. We don't need the Bible to, we need the Bible written in our own language, not just in Latin, who the educated priests can read, but nobody else, the common person, can't read. That's not right. There were other reasons for the Reformation too, but those are a couple of them. So people of an alliance church who are of that kind of Protestant tradition, we might say, yeah, why didn't they just go straight to God? Why are they asking how we're going to hear God's voice? Why didn't they all just listen to the voice of God? Why didn't they pull out the Bible, have some devotional time, and let God speak to their hearts? Well, they didn't have Bibles. There was no House of James, right? So back in the Old Testament times, things were just very different. There was no Jesus yet, of course. There had not been a Pentecost event where the Spirit had been poured out on all people, where the Spirit had rested on everyone and God's close personal presence was within and upon all of the people. That hadn't happened yet. They still had access to God in as far as there was a sacrificial system, so they could go and get free of their sin if they would take an animal to the priest and they had a priesthood and so on. But the people in the Old Testament, they couldn't just, you know, wander into the Holy of Holies and plop down on the mercy seat and have a chat with God. Like, it just didn't work like that. They didn't have the same access to God in the way that we do. Post-Jesus, through the Spirit, they didn't have that benefit or that opportunity. It wasn't until Jesus that that curtain that separated God from humanity, from the people of Israel, it wasn't until Jesus that tore into and finally we had access to the Father. So they couldn't just listen to God's voice in the same way that we can. So how did they hear God's voice? Well, primarily through the prophets, through somebody who was called to lead. God spoke to individuals at times, like Moses or Abraham or whoever. The Spirit did come upon people at times, like Samson. But there's no suggestion that God ever spoke to the masses. So the way in which God spoke to them then was through the voice of a prophet or through Moses, a leader, whatever. And our passage also says, if I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore, or again see this fire, I'm going to die. The people were fearful. They didn't want to hear from God. They didn't want to be all that close to him. They said, Moses, you go and talk to God. He seems kind of grumpy. You go and talk to him and he's mad. And then you come and tell us what he says. That was kind of their attitude. And I think ever since human beings have been estranged from God, since the garden, there has been a certain amount of fear. It is not only the Old Testament people. I think you and I sometimes fear God's voice, don't we? What would happen if I waited on the Lord and listened to him? What would he say to me? What would he call me out on? What would I be ashamed of that he would say? Would he call me to be a missionary and go to a foreign field? I don't want to go there. Right? Sometimes we fear God's voice. It's easier not to listen. It's easier to busy ourselves. It's easy not to go away to the on retreat, to be quiet and to listen where life is uncluttered. It's easy not to take out the earphones or switch off the TV. It's easier just to keep the hum of noise in our lives just buzzing, and then we don't have to really face God. I think we fear hearing his voice. We're worried he's going to slap us on the wrist, or he's going to ask us to do something difficult, or he's going to reveal to us just how sinful we really are. Oh, church, how we have misunderstood the heart of the Father. Yes, it's true. God calls us to be holy as he is holy. And there are times when God may call us out on a thing or two. Absolutely. But if we think the Father is just waiting there to smack us one when we finally listen to him, we have missed the heart of the Father. And too often I think that it's been portrayed out there that God is just angry with everyone and he can't wait to tell everybody off. Instead of understanding the God who's the father of the prodigal son, who's just waiting for open arms to say, I forgive you. And yes, he's going to call you to live a holy life, of course, and there's time to woman up or man up. Absolutely. But God, the heart of the Father, is merciful, forgiving, and loving, and we shouldn't fear hearing his voice. Because the only thing he's going to say, the only result of what he's going to say to you is going to bring you into a greater place of freedom and obedience and joy in your life. Not to say it'll always be easy, but he wants you to experience him. So God answers the people. If we're putting a question in their mouths a little bit, like who's going to speak to us when Moses is dead? But he answers. He says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, like Moses, from among your people, and you shall heed such a prophet. And then he goes on and says, I'm going to put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything I command. And in connection with what was just said about fearing God, there was this need to have a mediator then, a go-between between God and the people. And as the Old Testament progresses, you see these prophets who are this line of prophets that come. And at various times in the history, God raises up a prophet and raises up another prophet and raises up another prophet to speak to the people. And what was the role of the prophet? The role of the prophet was to act like a road sign. Just like a sign on the side of the road tells drivers that they need to adjust their speed a little bit, or there's a sharp turn coming up, or this stretch of the highway is prone to, you know, landslides and so on, just like, or whatever it is. So the prophet was there to warn the people. It was like the prophet was holding a copy of the book of Deuteronomy and waving it and saying, hey, remember this? Don't forget the Lord. Remember the blessings he says that he's going to pour out on you if you're obedient to him? Remember the curse of exile that we'll end up in if we abandon him? It's like a road sign reminding the people who God is and what treaty they signed up to and what the covenant means and all of that. So a line of prophets will continue to be used by God as a manner in which God will speak to the nation in the absence of Moses. This whole redemption from Egypt, this freeing of the slaves, this journey towards the promised land, it isn't all going to end with the death of Moses. God will not forget. God will continue to speak. The ultimate fulfillment, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:1 says, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways through the prophets. That's what we've just been talking about. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by a son whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Jesus Christ, who is called the Word in John's gospel, will fulfill all human longing for God's communication and will fulfill all that God has destined for human beings to hear. Jesus is the Word. He's going to speak. He has spoken and he continues to speak. Jesus actually perfectly fulfills the role of prophet, priest, and king. He's the king of all the world, the king of the universe, the king of all creation. He's the great high priest that stands between us and the Father and ever makes intercession and prays for us. And he's the prophet who ever speaks. He is the Word. And not only does he give direction when he speaks, or correction or whatever, but his words give life and actually spoke reality itself into being. He was there in the beginning. The Word was with God and the Word was God. So for ancient Israel, the generation poised to enter the land, who have been bought on and poised and ready to cross the Jordan, God was saying, I'm not going to stop speaking. I'm going to continue to speak for the prophet. I'm going to lead you. Now have faith and trust and believe me. And ultimately, God was promising to raise up the ultimate prophet, the one who would speak God's word and embody it, the one who is actually God's word and was already God's word because he was from the beginning. By way of application this morning, I want to talk about a couple of things with you. My encouragement for you today is that God speaks. There are times when it seems like God is silent in your life. There are times St. John of the Cross called like the dark night of the soul. There are times when it seems like God is distant. God is not being distant because he's mad at you. God is not being distant because he doesn't want to be close to you. God is being distant because he's beckoning you to come to a next level of faith and so on. St. Teresa of Avila talked about the various parts of the interior castle that we go in. What she was talking about was spiritual growth, that we grow, and it seems like God is so close at times in our life, and then it's like he withdraws. But he's beckoning you to a new level, to come, to seek him out, to see if you really want him. And then he meets you there. It might be after a certain amount of time. I don't know. But God speaks. God speaks today. And there is definitely a sense that God has already spoken in as far as he's graced us with his unchanging word that is complete. Scripture, it's a deposit of God's word. So he has already spoken supremely in his word. And he's not going to write another book. You know, add on to the Bible. You're not going to write another couple of books at some point. It begins with the garden, and it ends with the new heavens and the new earth and the river of life and so on. It is the complete word of God. So in that sense then, the challenge for us is, do we know well what it says? If he's already spoken through Scripture, do we know what it says? Are we familiar with his story? Do we meditate on it? Do we feast on it? Is it our nourishment and our daily bread? If this is God's word, we should be hungry to listen to it and apply it to our lives. That is the very reason, church family, that we wanted to hire somebody and instead moving Tim into the role of discipleship, pastor, small groups, whatever. That is the very reason, because we believe that it's a missing piece for all of us to, and it's not that spiritual growth isn't happening, it is in various ministries, but we need some more thrust there in order for us to say, you know, by Monday lunchtime, it's so easy to forget what was said on Sunday, but we want to be in the week challenging one another and saying, hey, you work in the office down the street, we were praying for you last week, how's it going? Remember what was spoken on Sunday or in our study or whatever it is? Have you been trying to apply that into your office? Yeah, let's pray for you. How's it going? Like, that's the kind of stuff we need to do in relationship if we're really going to take this from just a head knowledge and a kind of interesting thing, and from once a week we get kind of an inspiring message, to actually taking the word and ingesting it and applying it and challenging one another and holding one another accountable and praying for each other and walking alongside each other in difficulty. It's why we're doing that. So God has already spoken, and there's plenty to apply in there. But there's a second sense in that God also speaks at times very specifically, and it doesn't, it lines up with Scripture. This isn't something different. It's not contradictory or anything like that. He speaks very specifically at what's happening in your life here in 2017 and into the life of your family and into the life of our church and into nations. God speaks. How does he do that? Well, we've already talked about Scripture. It's a key way that he does it. Literally jumps off the page at you, and it speaks right into what you're going through right now. You're like, how, of all this Bible, how can I be reading that right now? This is crazy. It's because the Holy Spirit is leading you to it. It's a thing called the sovereignty of God, and it's wonderful, and it's beautiful, and it's amazing, and what a gift when he speaks. That is one key way. Another way that God speaks is through circumstances. Sometimes I think too often we see things as coincidence. And sometimes it might be. But God sometimes speaks through circumstances. You could be praying and praying and praying about something. Maybe it's about a new job and you've applied for this job and you're praying, Lord, let me have this job. I really want this job, if you will it. But I really want this job, Lord. I really want this job, if it's your will. I really want this job. And boom, somebody else gets the job. And you're like, ah! Right? But the circumstance says, you prayed, and God has something better for you. It wasn't for you. And sometimes through circumstance, God has spoken and he's answered you. And we have to listen and we have to trust. And that's just one example. Could be a million other ways in which he does that. God prompts you by the still small voice of the Spirit. You know that inner voice? You just know that you know that you know that God is speaking. Last Monday, when the group that I meet with, and anyone's welcome to come, by the way, 12:15 in the community room, we pray together on Mondays. And I shared this story with them. It was a story that I was actually reading back through my journal from YWAM, because I was trying to actually find something else for this message. Didn't find it. It's okay. But I found this, and I started reading, and then I couldn't put it down. I'm like, wow. And I remembered this story that I'd learned there about this woman who was trying so desperately to hear God's voice. She was really on a journey of trying to listen and obey those still small voice kind of things that happen in her life. And so she's walking in the grocery store, and she's doing her shopping, and like she does every day, she says, Lord, I'm in here doing groceries, but I want that just to be kind of the side thing. Like, I'm here for the next half an hour, so how do you want to use me in this grocery store? Oh, if we all prayed that prayer, how life would be different, hey? Lord, how will you use me in the grocery store? Who do you want me to speak to? Who's in here for me to witness to? I want to listen to the still small voice. She began to hear the still small voice that said, go back outside to the foyer bit, you know, where kind of the things open and the door is open and you go in. And there's a Coke machine. It's a vending machine. I want you to go and stand on your head next to the Coke machine. And she said, oh, this is crazy. So she carried on doing her grocery shopping, and she got that same sense, and she couldn't shake it. Go and stand on your head, or handstand, or whatever it was, next to the Coke machine. She's like, no, Lord, I think this is the enemy. It must be. I'm just going to look an idiot. And it persisted. The voice persisted. The voice persisted. So she said, all right, who cares? So I look an idiot, whatever. So she goes out, and she goes and does a handstand next to the Coke machine. A man walks in, and he stops in his tracks like this. And they have this conversation. And the man says, you know what? I've been struggling so much in my life that I've been ready to end it. And God is so silent and I can't hear him. And so I said to him this morning, I said, God, I'm going to the grocery store. And unless you have some woman standing on her head next to the Coke machine, I'm not going to believe you exist anymore and I'm done. And I'm going to kill myself. And he walks into that. Oh my gosh. Can't say God has ever told me to do anything like that before. But do we believe that God does that kind of thing? Yes, God speaks. It's just most of the time we're not listening. We're not available. God, we've got to be expectant that God will do incredible things. So sometimes he prompts us in those ways. Another way, somebody may have a word for you. With the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the Lord poured out his Holy Spirit upon the church and gifted people with various gifts. To some, he gave the gift of tongues. To others, he gave the gift of prophecy. To others, the gift of discerning spirits, and so on and so on. You can read it in Corinthians and Romans and other places. So some people move in the gift of prophecy, or some people get dreams and visions and impressions. And God gives it to them for someone else, for the building up of the church. And they come and give you a word. And that happens sometimes. The key there is you got to remember that's a human being giving you a word. And so you need to discern that. And you need to take it before the Lord or take it to trusted people and pray about it and take it to the Word and so on. I've had a number of those in my life. It doesn't happen that often, but I've had a number of those kind of things. And sometimes it's been like, boom, it's been exactly the word of God for me in that moment, and it's such a beautiful thing. And it's such a church family thing, because God's using the body to build up the body. It's wonderful, it's beautiful. And there's other times where I've been like, well, I'm not really sure, but I thank them for their courage and sharing it with me, and I write it down, and I pray about it, and I put it over here, and sometimes later it comes true, or some haven't yet, and I just, maybe they won't, or maybe they will. And so sometimes God speaks through the word of someone else like that. I'm going to have to ask the band to come back up. We could go on for a while here. Other things we could talk about in the way that God speaks to us. But let me just close in this way. Through the book of Deuteronomy, we have looked at the way that God was shaping the people, ready to go into the promised land. He's saying, please remember this, and please remember this, and don't forget this, and avoid this. Avoid idols, and we've preached all those kind of messages. And here at the end, I want us to hear that I believe they're also saying, well, how's God going to speak? And whether they're asking that question cognitively or not, God was saying, I'm going to speak through prophets. This is not over. I'm going to continue to speak, and he did throughout the Old Testament into the New, and God speaks today. So may I close by saying to you, or challenging you, first I'll say, God is speaking. My challenge is, are you listening? Or is it too easy to have the hum and the buzz and just listen to that? Let's sing together.